Hello, everybody. This is Daphne Farhat, and welcome to The People Speak. I'm here tonight with my co-host, John Neal, and our board director, Carrie Minaj, working in the background with us, as always. We'd like to invite you to please join us on Pal Talk by going to www.paltalk.com and downloading the software. That way you can come into the virtual auditorium and interact with our guest speakers. Or you can listen to us at CWRN at www.cosmicwavesradio.com. Our guest tonight is Tantu Cardinal, perhaps best remembered for her portrayal of Blackshawl, the wise wife of the medicine man in the Academy Award-winning film Dances with Wolves by Kevin Costner. We'll be back to talk to Tantu about her career, her current projects, and how she feels, if she has any impetus on that, impact the glorious ancestry of the Native peoples of America, and a lot more, hopefully. We'll also be able to interact with her yourself, so get your questions ready for 10-2, and we'll be back right after these announcements. Go for it. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the People Speak radio, and here, when the people speak, we make a difference. Our guest tonight is Tantu Cardinal. Tantu is a Native American actress and an award-winning thespian of the highest caliber. She's been in numerous movies, plays, television shows, and again, probably one of her most famous roles was the award-winning film Dances with Wolves by Kevin Costner. How are you, Tantu, this evening?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear us?
Yeah.
I was just asking how you were this evening, and welcome to the
show. Oh, I'm just fine.
Well,
I'm a Vancouver at the First Nations Assembly. And they just had an election and elected a new national chief, and it's been very exciting meeting and seeing all these people from all over the country. Some people I haven't seen for, excuse me, for 30 years or 10 years or 2 weeks, and it's such an exciting gathering.
How exciting. What is that, what kind of issues does that address, Tantu?
Well, it's the First Nations people.
Mm-hmm.
And they elected their new leadership, and I don't know what the main issues are. I guess it's the main issues are a sense of autonomy and sovereignty in the nation and getting some respect for who we are as people, to be recognized that we do have our own language, we do have our own religion, we have our relationship with the earth, we have responsibilities to society overall, as well as responsibilities to our own society. And you know, it's complex.
As all cultural
very strong.
Yes, they are. They absolutely are. And as all cultural organizations are very complex in bringing an understanding. Tantu, your name is absolutely lovely, Tantu Cardinal. Can you please tell us about that and why and how you acquired your name, whether it was your given name, or is that a name that you adopted? And if you did, what reason?
It was a name given to me by my grandmother. And she said she was just teasing. She knew I was gonna put it all over the place, she'd have never called me that, she said.
How interesting. Leave it to a grandmother, huh?
Yeah.
Did she ever mention that it had any particular meaning for her?
No. She said she was just teasing me, and that's the way it is.
Well, it's a beautiful name and very unusual. Tantu, first of all, again, thank you for being with us. I understand that you kind of juggled your schedule a little bit to be here on our show tonight, and that was really great of you. We're really excited about having you here. I understand you're currently shooting a new project. What kind of project is it? Can you tell us a little bit about it and what to look forward to?
Well, right now I'm working on writing for a video for the Native Counseling Services here in Alberta. Oh, I'm not in Alberta, I'm in BC. But back home in Alberta, I'll be shooting it next week, actually. And it's about lateral violence. It's a term that is being used to describe, you know, the kind of the nasties, the violent, the edgy things that people do and say and act towards each other. Someone else is writing the scenarios to describe some of those situations, and I'm writing, I guess you could call it a monologue, about the inner world of violence, how it affects us within, and starting from, you know, childhood, different events, and how they impact and compound and like that. It's to create discussion about these things and the harm we do to each other and how we heal.
Is this a documentary?
I don't know what you call it. It's a working video. It's with counseling services, so it's for people going through a healing process. And,
I see.
Dealing with addictions and all of that kind of stuff.
I see. Sounds very interesting. Sounds fascinating, as a matter of fact. What an interesting way to approach it.
Well, I'm looking forward to actually doing it and shooting it and working with young actors and seeing what they have. I haven't been doing this. It's one of the reasons that I came back to my home territory, because all these years I've been working on other people's projects, and there's a sensation that it depletes one. You know, if you're not doing the things that are coming from you, that are not initiated from your own soul source, that after a while it depletes your energy, I think. So that's one of the reasons that I came back to Alberta, is because I wanted to get into my own art, or my own way of expression. I thought I was going to be writing a book about my life, and as it turns out, projects that I was wanting to do before I got into acting, which is, well, about 35 years ago, but I didn't have the confidence to do at that time. And then I come home and find that nobody's done them yet, so they're still sitting here waiting for me. And so that's very exciting.
Well, that's wonderful. It sounds like a very interesting project. How wonderful for you. Kenzie, let me ask you something. You know, Dancing with Wolves was an incredible movie for me. For whatever reason, when I first heard about the movie, I watched it because I like Kevin Costner. And I had never anticipated, I just thought, oh my God, how am I going to sit through an entire cowboy flick? I grew up with cowboy flicks, but this was certainly not an ordinary movie. How do you think this impacted you, and was that really the highlight of your career as far as the kind of caliber that movie reached?
Well, did it reach the caliber?
Well, it was one of the best movies I've ever seen, and I know that it was a Hallmark movie in bringing to light the First Nation of America and Canada. The you know, everybody used to think that they were the little teepee Indians running around going woo 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 woo, you know, and all that stuff. And here was this profound imagery of this incredible people that nobody, I think, had ever seen before up until Dancing with Wolves.
Well, this is what I found exciting about it, is that it was being done in Aboriginal language. So I found that very exciting, because any opportunity that we have to kind of inform the overall society of who we really are is very important. Because it's important that the American society know who we are as human beings. And the opportunities were not very strong. And I think that one thing that the movie did was open those doors, and it brought new ideas, I think, to people who had been in the dark about who we are. And there's still a lot of darkness about who we are. But I think it was a light for us. For one thing, we were being portrayed in a positive way. And that's something that we really needed. You know, some people say that it was the beginning of a new way for us to be portrayed. And in a lot of senses, that's true. But I also felt like it was a culmination of the old. You know, we can put the old images and old ideas of who we are on a where it belongs, wherever that is, and start off on a new journey.
Can I ask you? Well, obviously, we both agree that this movie and the way it was done certainly changed the perception of people in light of the way they used to believe that the Native Americans of this country lived and were, and that they were barbarians. Do you think that it also elevated the pride in the Native people?
Absolutely.
Can you elaborate on that a little bit?
I saw evidence all over the place where it really gave people a sense of pride. For one thing, it's a huge relief to be portrayed as human beings. You know, and for generations that's been a sore spot for us, and so there was that opportunity, and it helped people feel more positive about who they were. And I was just talking to somebody today who is now pursuing acting. And he never even went to audition when the auditions were called for Dances with Wolves, because he thought it was just going to be another one of those ignorant Hollywood movies. Never even went. So he was pleasantly shocked when he saw the movie, and so he's taken the courage to be involved in acting, something he'd always wanted to do, but it was not a pleasant dream when you're being asked to do these things that you're really trying to get rid of. So, I mean, there's still a lot of that exists. You know, there's still roles that you go, I'm not doing that. You know, but at least those choices are there. For years and years and years in my work, I had to do unpleasant things, well, you know, unpleasant situations in a story, in the sense that, you know, I would be playing a character who had very little to do with the story, and it was extremely frustrating because I know, you know, the reality of what that character would be doing. However, that's not what the movie is about, and it is so frustrating not to be able to give more, because we're always relegated to the backdrop. And not really.
Did you have any input on these movies, especially something like Dances with Wolves? I mean, as an actress, were you able to have any say so as to how the character was to develop?
You know, you have a certain amount of say, but as an actor, you don't have all that much power, because it's all written already, and you don't have a hand in casting. And so you just work the best with what you have. And so it's very important who the filmmakers are as to how much you can influence what you do have to work with.
Do you think the people walked away from that movie, the people that actually worked on the movie themselves, do you think they walked away feeling like they had done something important? Your husband in the movie was, what do they call him, Kicking Bird? What was the name of the actor that played that? I read it, but I can't seem to find it here.
Graham Greene.
What was that?
Graham Greene.
Oh, yes, yes. Kicking Birds. I love that. And, again, a lot of this was just amazing. Do you still keep in touch with any of these people, Tentu?
Well, we're always running into each other, you know, as actors. We meet on other sets, and sometimes we meet at award shows or different gatherings, and we're a part of each other's lives in that way, yep.
Oh, it must be fun when you get together. We're going to take a little break right now for some public service announcements, and we'll be back in just a minute or so with our guest tonight, Tentu Cardinal. Go for it, Carrie. It's all yours.
Did you know that President Bush's No Child Left Behind Act mandates that public high schools turn over private student information to military recruiters or risk losing federal funding? Not only that, but the Pentagon has compiled a database of over 30 million young people up to age 17 for the purpose of military recruitment. You can protect your child from unwanted military recruiting by removing their names off both these lists. Go to www.leavemychildalone.org.
And just so you all know, that public service announcement was done by my niece, Nicole Vowell, who is an up-and-coming journalist, and I'm very proud of her. Welcome back. We're with Tentu Cardinal, and Tentu is a Native American actress. You're Métis, Tentu. Can you talk to us about what it's like growing up? You hear the term half-breed. Oh, my God, how famous that was during the cowboy days of my childhood. Explain to me what Métis is and why it's different.
Well, it's not really. Métis is a pronunciation, or Métis. It's a French term for mixed blood. And the English called us half-breed. And it's basically French, is Métis, is basically the same thing. It's mixed blood. But the old Cree word for us is Ortopensoroc, which is people who own themselves.
Oh, wow, that is powerful.
Quite a difference, isn't it?
Amazing. People that own themselves. Could you say that again for me, please?
Ortopensoroc.
Fascinating.
People own themselves.
You must have a great deal of pride in that.
Because we never signed any treaties.
I see. I see. Is that where the term came from?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? People that own themselves. Boy, that should be plastered all over every Indian teepee or hut or reservation from here to wherever you live, because that is just an amazing legacy, people that own themselves.
Well, no, you don't put it on teepees because it's this is one thing that I found really, really frustrating to explain and describe in American society, is that Métis is different. In the Canadian Constitution, it was amended to include us in the Constitution in 1980s. And our terminology for our original peoples is First Nations are the people who signed the treaties. Those are what you guys call Native Americans, okay? First Nations in Canada. And then Métis, Métis, that's us guys, mixed blood. And the Inuit, the people from the north. So, and we're quite different culturally and historically, experientially. The First Nations people signed treaties and negotiated for land and all of this. And so their relationship with the Canadian government is quite different from the Métis people's relationship with the Canadian government, because we didn't sign treaties. And we were worked around in different ways with the thing called scrip. And being barred out of going to school because we didn't have land. We lived on road allowance and different places like that. Didn't pay taxes, so we weren't allowed in the schools. Whereas the Indian children, First Nations children, were torn away from their parents and forced to go to residential schools and stripped of their names, their language, their spirituality, their songs, everything that was theirs, stripped from their parents. Their parents were stripped of their children. And, you know, I mean, the commonality in our history is the displacement and the overall disrespect in society and the attempt to beat us into oblivion and to exterminate us. Which was not successful. However, it was a rough go, and it still is a rough go.
Well, when I talk about, when I made mention of the teepees, I absolutely have the greatest respect for First Nation people. We've often talked about what these labels mean to the First Nation and the people of that lived in America, in the Americas before the Europeans came over. And there's a lot of some people want to be called First Nation, some people are fine with Native American, and I guess sometimes we feel a little bit, I know for myself, I feel like somehow I don't want to offend anybody because I absolutely have an affinity with the First Nation people. Being Palestinian, we know what it's like to be repressed. We know what it's like to have a genocide occur, and I have a great deal of, you know, as a matter of fact, being Palestinian has helped me to look at the First Nation people and see the unbelievable events that occurred. You know, here we don't even compare as far as the numbers as to what existed in America at that time. And I can't even, and my mind doesn't even embrace how many First Nation people died. Truly, my mind does not embrace that, Tantu, because it's so large.
And a generation after generation after generation.
Exactly, and it's like, how can one ever recover? You know, I've often heard people say, well, you know, it's a war, you lost, get over it. Does anybody ever really get over that kind of a travesty against humanity? I don't think anybody can.
You know, there's so much yet to be learned from that, of what... What needs to be understood from that, and what I find really frustrating about this, what seems to be going on in current society, is the values that we have to contribute to the overall milieu of the society are it's like the oil society doesn't want to hear anything about it. Because in order to really give us our rightful place in the majority society, there would have to be some very serious revamping of value, sense of life. There would have to be some sacrifices made by those with the riches. And the whole focus of society would have to go towards women and children. It's no wonder that they tried to kill us, beat us, and get rid of us, because that was not the intention of the original males that came over here to build their empires and their society. It was not about the women and the children. And that's what's demanded in the blueprint of the First Nations or the Native society, Earth society, is the greatest gift in creation. The greatest gift the Creator has given us is children. And that's fundamental in our teachings. And it's not the way the structures of our society are built. And well, that kills the earth.
Absolutely. And, you know, isn't it amazing? One of the things that I find to be so magnificent about First Nation people is instead of adopting this victim role, this role of poor me, all I see in every event that I have ever been in company with First Nation people is honor, glory, incredible pride. I mean, it's just an amazing, you know, where they could have taken on this role of a victim, they did not. They took on a spiritual role. They took on a role of heroes. And I just think that's an amazing, amazing thing.
That's what we had to do to survive. We had to go back to our spirit base. We had to go back to our relationship with Creator. And we had to get rid of the lies that had been placed on us, that were used to deplete us and get rid of us. And, you know, one example is the jails. There was a point when it was recognized that we were the majority of the population in the jails, yet we were not the majority. We were a minority in society. And some very serious contemplation and attempts were made to try to remedy the situation. And the tool that was used is spirituality, culture and spirituality. So now you have sweat lodges in the jails. And that's the only way we can heal is through our relationship with Creator. And we have to do it ourselves. And we've had to fight. You know, I said this at the time when Dances with Wolves came out, is that, okay, people from across the ocean came here, and one of the reasons they came here was to get to escape religious persecution. And what did they do? They tried to kill our church and tried to get rid. They stripped us of our spirituality. What is that about, eh? Isn't that a little messed up?
Very, but isn't that exactly what's happening in today's world and today's wars tend to? Look what we've done. Our president has taken us to an illegal and illegitimate war in Iraq by saying that we are going there to unleash freedom and democracy. Well, uh-huh. I think democracy at the end of a bayonet or the end of a bomb is not democracy at all. So yeah, it's still happening to this day. We're going to be taking a break right now, and when we come back, we have lots of questions from our audience. Tansu, okay. And they're all looking forward to talking to you. Carrie, take it away.
The People Speak Radio Show is being broadcast over a Shoutcast stream at CosmicWavesRadio.com. That's CosmicWavesRadio, one word, .com. It is also being broadcast in an interactive audio chat room at PalTalk, www.paltalk.com.
Thank you, Carrie. Welcome back, everybody. Before we actually take our first audience question, I'd like to do tonight's giveaway for the DVD. It's the Peace DVD. This particular DVD is a collection of speakers, peace activists, and celebrities like Noam Chomsky, Howard Zinn, who has been our guest on our program, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, Gore Vidal, and many, many others. The question for tonight, and the third person that puts the correct answer in the text, will be the winner of the DVD. The question is, what was the name of the medicine man in Dances with Wolves that our guest Tantu Cardinal played the wife of. Come on, everybody. Come on.
I know.
No fair. The guest can't participate.
I know. I'm here. Jonathan's here.
Hey, John.
I told you I'd come back at the bottom of the hour, didn't I?
Well, good for you. Well,
I know the answer to that. Oh, Tantu, I wrote a song, and it's kind of off the cuff with some friends called the Answer to the Trivia Question. We have a piece that is entitled that, and it's I find it quite interesting. It's very spiritual. We just let it flow, and as it comes out, we just shape it as it happens, and it's very, very interesting. Just wanted to let you know that. And another thing I wanted to interject in that is I've been paying close attention to the words that you've been saying, and I really appreciate them, and I want to extend to you an open invitation to express yourself any way you want to on this program, anytime you want to. We have about 5 people in line right now in the Pal Talk room who are ready to ask you questions. We're going to go ahead and get that started because it's going to take a couple of minutes for each one. Try to keep the questions brief if you can, please, people in the audience. And if you would, we'll allow a couple of seconds after you finish for Tantu to respond. So I think we should jump right into that. The answer to the trivia question, a couple of people put it in there correctly. I will let one of the moderators in the Pal Talk room determine who was number 3. And that person will receive a free copy of that DVD. We're glad to give it to you. Just give us some information, and we'll get up with you after the program on what you need to do to get that free DVD. And a congratulations beforehand on that. Let's just jump right into that, Basma, if you want to, as far as letting the people who are in line come on up and ask these questions, because I notice we have a lot of people that are ready. You think it's a good time to start, Basma?
I think so, John. Go for it.
Our first person, if you want to, tell us your first name and where you are, if you want. You don't have to, but it's always good to know what your name is and where you are, and a brief question for Tantu, and then we'll just carry on. Whoever puts their hand up next will go next. So go ahead. Mothers Brule Sioux. Mothers Brule Sioux, the mic is yours.
Okay. Hello. I am from Rosebud. My first name is Judith. I had a question. Now that Dances with Wolves is over, do you think that there will soon be another of that type to the Black Hills? I am from the Black Hills. In fact, some of my cousins were extras in the movie Dances with Wolves. But do you think that there will be another soon? And if so, do you think they will use the Black Hills again? That's what I asked.
I have a hard time understanding that. I've heard rumors that there was going to be a Dances with Wolves sequel, but I've seen no evidence of it. But what was the second part of that question?
I'm afraid I didn't hear it myself. I think the sound was a little bit off. And I apologize for that, Mother's Brule. But thank you for coming to the mic. Go for it, John. I think...
If Mothers wants to go ahead and post the second part of the question in the text window in the Pal Talk room, you can relay it back to Tantu. Otherwise, we'll just continue on with the, as far as the microphone goes, in the order that the people are up here. The order that I have, just for verification, is Lanny and Nesta Chinagas, Wolf Dancer, Darlene Peace Lover.
I see Peace Lover at the very top of the row. He's had his hand up.
Okay, let's just go ahead. Peace Lover. Peace Lover, the mic is open. Come on up and ask your question.
Hi, Tantu. It's Mike from California. I talked to you on the phone before. Tantu, I was wondering, do you have any thoughts about Ward Churchill's dismissal from his position at that university in Arizona? Thank you.
I know too little about the whole situation. Maybe if you have a specific question, I could respond to that, but I don't know enough about it. What was his dismissal based on again?
I think it was mostly a political thing, Tantu. It was based on his teachings and his writings concerning the events in September of 2001, and how, and he wrote a couple of op-eds about it that filtered out from his academic pursuits, and they weren't that well received overall. I think it was kind of split down the middle. So he became a very controversial figure, and even his status as far as being a member of the Native American group, or the First Nations, whichever one you want to call it, that's even been, people have been using that as leverage against his stand, the actual essence of his claim to that right, his blood claim. So it's been, so it may be, maybe later, you can look up, you can kind of look into that if you choose, but since you, I want to tell you, I appreciate the fact that since you didn't know the current issue at that hand, you didn't turn it into a Fox News event and just make something up. That's the beauty of this kind of a media. We are allowed to speak freely without interjecting fantasies and changing reality. We want to put our feet in more solid ground on real terms here. And we're going to go right back to this list. I see a person named Lanny 222. Lanny, according to what I see, you're next. So come on up, ask a brief question if you would. If you want to, tell us your name and where you are, your first name, and the mic is open.
Well, thank you so much. This is Lanny from Clover, South Carolina. And Lampoon, I saw that movie, and you're a very beautiful lady. I got to tell you that. That's one of the best movies I've ever saw in my life. Why I did, and I'm 59 years old, Friday I'll be 59, why they always get white people to play Native Americans in the movies? And that's all I've got to ask you. I thought that was always dumb. But what do you think, Lantoon? I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Did you get that question, Tantu?
No, it wasn't clear.
It was the first part was a compliment to you, and the other part was a question about movie casting, the occurrence of using non-Native people to play the roles, especially female roles, some sort of observation along those lines. I didn't quite. I think, Carrie, if you are able, maybe you can boost the volume up, or the people in the Pal Talk room, you may want to just slide your microphone volume over just a little bit, turn it up just a little bit, because it's starting to fade out there just a little. But that was the essence of that of what that person said. Lanny was asking about opinion from you as far as movie casting in general, and how in some roles white people are put in roles of Native people. I wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, I think it's connected to the root that we are primitive, we are less sophisticated, we are less intelligent, we're not capable. How could we possibly understand and be competent to this complex thing? And I guess they had no idea what they're missing by not casting somebody who's really from that world. And I don't think they really cared. They were kind of a novelty and, you know, cute in some situations and, you know, can make fun of us in the other situations, and it's our place on the outside of society. Not respected.
Okay. I had a little glitch there. I think I'm back. Yes, as far as that
goes, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And you stick to that story. As far as that goes, I think I want to just throw in something in here real briefly. I watched recently, the movie Little Big Man. Part of it was filmed up in the Stoney Reservation in Alberta, near Morley. I don't know if you're familiar with that geography of Alberta.
We shot Legends of the Fall there.
Yes, and that movie, the Little Big Man, the portrait that it, the way it portrayed that group of people and always reminding each other that they're human beings, even though it was a comical twist to it, I think I really appreciated and enjoyed the way that they were presented in that movie, even though it had a slapstick aspect to it. You know, it was Little Big Man. It's one of those. It's 1970, I think, is when they did that up there in Alberta. Oh, we have another person waiting in line to ask a question, and this person nickname is Mr. Chinagas. And Mesta, if you want to, come up here and give us your first name and ask a brief question of our guest. Thanks.
Yes, my name is Sue. I'm from Massachusetts. Tantu, and thank you for your time. My question involves your activism in the sense that you mentioned or touched upon an ideological revolution when you were talking about the women and the children and so on. I'm curious, because I've been struggling with this with myself for a long period of time, does that include all of Earth's children, the men and the women, or just those we consider to be part of our own culture? Thank you very much.
Yes, it does. All children. And here we hold within our society that very clearly articulated that children are the greatest gift Creator has given us. And it's our responsibility. We're entrusted with that responsibility, and it's an indicator, it's a directive for human beings of how we can focus our society so that it's healthy and so that it works for life, for existence. And that's all color children, you know? It's everybody's children. But we have to pay attention to our society. This is, you know, we have to strengthen our children. And that includes our children's friends, you know, for all of us.
It is rather a sad commentary when you look at the desensitization of, like, people are, as far as news of media goes, how often do you see the victimization of children in the print or in the television media? And it gets to the point to where, especially in places that are currently ravaged by the unrest and the violence, the Gaza Strip, Iraq, Afghanistan, and now, for reasons still unknown to me, even Lebanon again. And there's always, the children are always victims. They're always innocent. They have just a natural innocence. And to slaughter children in any form and call it something political or to consider it collateral damage is a tragedy in itself. The semantics that are used by people these days, the language that they choose to use to cover themselves, to cover their tracks, to retroactively change the meaning after they commit the nasty deed. And I really hope that we can open our eyes and realize what's happening in this world to these kids. And it's not just in these areas that I mentioned. It's more far-reaching than that. And
I kind of look at it like when they talk about gauging or getting an indication of how poisoned the earth is, then check out the frogs and see what's happening with the frogs, and that's how you can tell how healthy your society is. And to me, it's kind of the same situation with the children. Look at how well the children are thriving. And you get an idea of what the environment is providing. And it makes me think, when you're asking, does that include all children? Well, of course it does. And in our society that's so dense, where we're all, it's quite obvious that we're dependent on one another, that we're all connected. Look at the situation of crystal meth that's invading our communities, all of our communities, not just Native communities, all of the communities. Kids are getting hooked on this stuff that's easy to make and easy to find, and it's devastating, and it just hooks, and that's going to make our society, well, our society has to pull together to make that change and make a healthier place for our children.
They call it the poor man's cocaine, and it is definitely a chemical weapon. It serves no purpose I've seen photographs of people who, after 2 years of using it, the total changes that they go through. It's unbelievable. Stay away from it. Run from it. And talk to people about it. It is absolutely a synthetic nightmare. Avoid it at all costs. We're going to take a break. It's about 12 minutes to the top of the hour. We still have several hands up. We want to see if we can let all of these people come up. Time is going to be limited soon, so we're going to take one more break, and this will be, Terry will let it roll. I think it's maybe a minute or so, but I'll jump back in when it's all over with. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we have Wolf Dancer, Galene, Spirit of the Ruins, Antoman, and Mother's Brutal Sue has another question. Hopefully we can get her back up there as well.
And real quick, John, the winner of our DVD is Eagle Mom. Congratulations, Eagle Mom.
Eagle Mom, we will get up with you and tell you how you can receive that free copy of that DVD. We're going to take this break right now, public service announcement. You're listening to The People Speak on the Pal Talk Virtual Auditorium Network and also on Cosmic Waves Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Are you appalled that our country is spending billions on war while cutting funds for our libraries, hospitals, and schools? Are you heartsick at the suffering of the Iraqi people? Then join me, Medea Benjamin, in signing Code Pink's urgent call for peace in Iraq. Sign on today at www.womensaynotowar.org.
This is Congresswoman Cynthia McKinney. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge and tortured, used illegal weapons and targeted civilians. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org. Now, that was one impassioned speaker. Absolutely. And those public service announcements are made available to our radio and our Pal Talk audience absolutely free of charge. We're going to jump into the lightning round here, Tantu. We have about 10 minutes left. Several people are waiting. Hopefully we can have all of them come to the mic. So let's wait no longer. Wolf Dancer 55. Hopefully your question is ready. Go ahead. The mic is yours. Wolf Dancer. Looks like Wolf Dancer may be having problems or can't hear us. I guess we can just move right along to Darlene. The mic is yours.
Hi, and thank you so much for being here. This is just wonderful. I noticed so many people asking questions and talking about the movies and Native actors, and there are tons of Native American actors and more coming, and musicians. And I wondered if you knew anything about this 24-hour Native cable TV network. A lady named Jonelle Romero was planning on launching it on May 1st. And I haven't found it on any of the stations. I've called and I told the Dish Network that I will not buy it unless they have this station. And I really have not been able to find it. I just wondered if you knew anything of it. It's called Red Nation Web Television. It's supposed to be on 24 hours with children's shows, adult shows, all Native American actors, and Sesame Street type shows for the kids, and sitcoms with Native American families and so on. I just wondered if you'd heard of that and could give any insight on that. Thank you again.
I heard about it. Someone sent me an email about it, but I haven't seen it, and I don't even know how you would access it. I'm living in Canada, so I'm kind of separated from a lot of things that are going on down there, and I'm sorry I'm not more informed about it. And here in Canada, we've got our own television station called Aboriginal People's Television Network, and we're working towards getting strong content and creating new shows, and we have our own television station over here, which is very exciting, and I hope that that station can provide the same kind of thing in that big, busy society over there.
Well, hopefully you can, if you get that project up and going the way you want up there in Canada, you can put it on the Internet and stream that video to us, because you know how the Internet works. It's global, and you can access videos just as well as text and audio. So hopefully you guys can master that technology as well and put it on the
well,
Internet.
Now that we have these possibilities where we can get our shows out, you know, maybe some of these videos will be on the airwaves more so than just in a workshop or, you know, a workshop kind of atmosphere.
Okay, we need to move along. We have Wolf Dancer, I think, wants to try it one more time. Wolf Dancer, moderators in the room, make sure Wolf Dancer is... has an open mic, so we'll go ahead and let Wolf Dancer try it one more time. Come on up.
Hi, I'm Art from Pittsburgh. You're in one of my favorite movies, Legends of the Fall. And I'd like to know if the whole thing with Brad Pitt and the bear and him going away to find himself is really shamanistic. That's what I got out of the movie. And maybe I'm wrong, but... I can see that in the movie. Do you know if it was written that way or it just happened that way? Thank you.
Well, I think it was written that way. And it's, I don't know if you want any more of an answer, but I think it was very intentional.
Well, that's direct and to the point, absolutely. The answer worked fine.
I wanted to...
Yeah,
we were, you were talking about music at one point and DVD, and I just wanted to let you know my friend's place where I am doing this interview from in beautiful Vancouver is a blues musician of Mohawk descent who grew up listening to Detroit, but his first CD is entitled 1492, Who Found Who? Just for your information.
Good title. Okay, let's move right along. We're almost out of time. Let's go ahead. Spirit of the Ruins. Spirit of the Ruins, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Hello, I'm Jacqueline. I'm Cherokee in South Carolina. I currently have a T-shirt on that says, Fighting Terrorism Since 1492. Nonetheless, I am wondering if perhaps you could comment a little bit on how other Native Americans, First Nations, could perhaps motivate themselves a little bit more to be a little more active in getting the truth out, not only about our past history, but as you know, we have current issues today that are very important, and the truth and the facts need to be spoken out. And I'm wondering if you could give me some advice and how to get other brothers and sisters together and to get them a little bit more motivated in speaking out. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I missed a lot of that. Can you kind of...
She was asking from advice from you on how what needs to be done to motivate not just localized groups of natives, First Nations, but to motivate in a larger sense the entire group to address not only the history but the current situation, not only locally or nationally but globally. What advice that you have on how to get the people together? That's what I got from that question. Go ahead.
Well, the people are getting together. It's going on. It's going on all over the country. In fact, it's going on all over the planet. And South America, I can't tell you which country right now, they elected their first Native American, first Native president, which is a woman. Though it might not be reaching some people's airwaves, it's definitely a strong movement going on. We have been fighting for survival. So our communities are strong. We are a people that have experienced the peak of the wave of what the European influence has brought here. So everything, all the destruction that we have gone through as a people, we got in a very concentrated form. We were the target of a lot of this. And what's happened in our society is like when the wave breaks and hits the shore, it spreads out and it hits everybody. So our communities have been working to breathe and working to live and to build a better society. And by our efforts, hopefully it'll rub off. But even within the non-native societies, it's very difficult for the people to push forward the principles of life that are healthy and that give us longevity.
I think we have time for one more, Tanjun. Antoman underscore one. Come on up, ask your question. Mic's open.
Thank you. My name is Anthony, and I'm from Ireland. And I'd like to say that Dances with Wolves is one of my favorite films. And I'd like to ask Tantu Cardinal, what was it like to work with Kevin Costner? What was he like during the making of that film? What kind of guy is he?
I really enjoyed working with Kevin. I think that maybe a part of it was because he is an actor. I found it very easy to understand his direction, very easy to work with. He was very enjoyable to work with. He was like a brother. And I don't know, he'd have to respond to that, but I get the feeling that he was doing something that he'd been wanting to do for a long time, and I think he was excited about it. It got a bit long, you know, that's a lot of work for anybody to lead, but I really enjoyed working with Kevin.
That's the nature of the epic films. That's definitely an epic film. It takes a lot of hard work, and I think you did a masterful job of putting it all together. We are at the top of the hour. I think I'm going to see if we can squeeze in. We have one more person waiting. Mother's Brule Sue is back. Let's see if she can squeeze one quick question in. And Tantu, you can take a couple of minutes to answer, and then we're going to have to draw the curtain on the program. So go ahead, Mother's Brule Sue. The mic is yours.
Yes, hi. You know, one quick question. Do you ever come to South Dakota, you know, to Rosebud? We would be happy to entertain you. But, you know, all of us in South Dakota love the movie, but we need more of these. We need more. And if you have any kind of influence, please, you know, let's do something because we need more movies of this kind for our people. And the Dances with Wolves was the closest movie of our people that I have seen in 54 moons. So I want to thank you, but we need more real deal how we are, not the old cowboy and Indian movies that they portrayed us, you know. So anyway, so that's all I have to say. I hope we get more kinds of these movies, yes?
Yes, I hope so. And they're in development. You know, there's more of our people that have been getting experience and getting educated in the whole medium, and more courage to step forward in the hopes that the story can be told the way it's meant to be told. There are many filmmakers that have been creating work that's close to the bone from where we come from, and there's, we have a lot to look forward to. We have some very exciting filmmakers that are coming up and creating work. Don't be discouraged. It's happening.
Yay. I'm glad. I'm glad. I hope more and more. Bring it on. More. Oh, I used the bring it on phrase. I shouldn't have done that. That refers to somebody I don't want to talk about at this point. But we are out of time. We have gone over just a couple of minutes. Basma, are you still in here with us?
I sure am, John. And we'd like to thank Tantu for being with us this evening and thank our audience guests for their questions, for their wonderful comments in the mic in the room, Tantu. Everybody is just a great fan of yours and the work that you have done. Please join us on the People Speak Radio. You can hear Tantu's interview on www.thepeoplespeakradio.org. Next week, our guest is going to be Rich Cronin, former boy band member of the LFO. Rich is currently battling leukemia, and it's going to be a very profound show, I think. Thank you, John, for co-hosting.
I want to give kudos out to Basma for battling her. She's under the weather a little bit. We really appreciate your hard work. It's very appreciated. I want to thank Carrie as well for another outstanding job in the technical department.
Yay, Carrie!
Over there in the shadows. And most of all, though, we want to thank our guest this evening. Tantu Cardinal has enlightened us. In my personal opinion, I've been listening to every word that came out of her mouth, and I'm very fascinated with this person. And I really appreciate your time this evening. And at this point, Tantu, all of us extend our thanks to you, and we want to extend an open invitation for you to come back anytime you want on the PalTalk Virtual Radio Network and the Cosmic Waves Radio Network. This has been the People Speak, and we want to say
thank you so much. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank you for the venue of People Speak. People need to speak.
Did you hear that, folks? People need to speak.
They sure do. I think Carrie has Andy DeFranco ready to roll. She's going to sing the farewell song for this evening. We'll see you guys again next week at the same time, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, here on Pal Talk and on the Cosmic Waves Radio Network. There'll be another edition of The People Speak. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
One bright sunny morning.